This seminar by Bob Coughlin, titled Band on the Run, is made available to you through Sovereign Grace Ministries. It was recorded at our Worship God 2008 conference. Bob serves as Director of Worship Development for Sovereign Grace Ministries and as a pastor and worship leader at Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Welcome to Band on the Run. What this is going to be is a down and dirty explanation of what we typically do when we're trying to rehearse. This is going to be real down and dirty. I have an outline which I'm going to share some thoughts initially, but I wanted to make this rough so that you would know this so that this will help you in your situation. Just curious, how many of you are from churches that are 300 or less? Okay, most of you. All right. Some of you, even just seeing this many people on stage, is like, wow, wish we could have that many people. So we're going to try and break some of this down so this applies to you no matter what size team you're playing with. I should make it clear this is not like a class for a church that has an orchestra or organ and piano. This probably won't help you a whole lot, although it could. The principles are the same, but I'm mostly trying to serve churches with contemporary bands, because bands have come into the corporate worship of the church without a lot of explanation of how they work. And a good arrangement doesn't just happen. When you put a bunch of people who play different instruments, drums, guitar, bass, electric, acoustic, keyboard, synth, you can't just all start playing a song and all of a sudden it sounds good. Would that that were true. It's not. So you have to work at it. So we have done this seminar a number of times to address that particular topic. I don't know about you, but even though I have been on staff at a church as a full-time music pastor, worship pastor, everybody's lives are full. And rehearsal time is short. So we want to make the most of the time we have to rehearse. And actually, a lot of the teams that you've seen at the conference have only rehearsed for about an hour to put together what they're doing. So it's not like, now for the first night, we rehearsed on Sunday for a couple hours just to pull everything together and find out what parts we didn't have and that kind of thing. But this is real life, because we don't go back to a conference. We go back to our churches. And just again, curious, how many of you have a rehearsal that's separate? Now, how many of you just rehearse on Sunday morning? Okay, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I'm sure everybody's getting up at 4 o'clock, arriving at 5, so you can have a good 3 hours of rehearsal before you start. And how many of you have a rehearsal once a week with your team? Okay, good number. How many of you like twice a month? All right, so it varies. It's important for the sake of our people and for the sake of the church that we learn how to maximize the time that we have. And I find often bands will over-arrange. They'll spend so much time working on the arrangements that really aren't even serving the church. So, Sunday morning comes and, oh, we've got this transition down. Oh, that is so cool. That is so great. Yeah. And the congregation's going, what are they doing? Why is this taking so long? So it's possible to overarrange, to be so concerned about getting the arrangement right that we're forgetting that we're there to magnify the glory of God in Jesus Christ through the power of the Spirit. And we don't want to do that. So here are the goals in arranging. Three goals: to serve the lyrics, to serve the congregation, and to maximize the effect of the musical gifts God has given us. How many of you on a Sunday morning have four or less people on your team? Okay, great. How many of you have like 7 or less? All right, a good number. All right, so this would not be totally out of the picture. And how many of you are working from a pool of like 25, 30, 40 musicians? Okay, great. See, God has blessed you. You are just so blessed. Everybody's envious, but we're glad that you are blessed. I want to talk a little bit about the leadership band dynamic. And again, just share these thoughts briefly, because these all go into arranging. You need to understand, like, who's leading in the band. Who has a final say? That's the leader. I'm guessing that was Dave. Dave's been a thorn in my flesh for, I don't know, how many years is it now, Dave? It will be. You have a microphone there if you want to say something. It's not worth it. Okay, good. The leader, ultimately responsible for musical decisions, doesn't have to come up with them all, doesn't have to be the best musician. He's just responsible. Invite and receive ideas without taking offense or feeling threatened. I have, you know, experienced times when someone's made a comment about, you know, a way something might go, and I think, well, you know, by them saying that, they're saying that my idea is bad. And so I react. You know, it's, oh, what are you, you know, not outwardly, but just inside, I'm going, no way. Yeah. That, pure and simple, is pride. It's seeking to exalt yourself. Now, on the other hand, there's a time to try out ideas and a time to move on. A leader shouldn't feel like they have to try out every suggestion. But don't feel you have to have the best idea either. Everything, attitude is everything. Just the way you receive ideas and handle them. So what I seek to do is kind of open things up for people to contribute, but make people aware that when they do contribute an idea, it's not guaranteed that we're going to use it or even that we're going to try it. I make a decision on the spot. No, you know, we don't have time to try that. And that's part of just maximizing your time. As far as the band, a democratic process is appealing, but it has its weaknesses. It's slower, definitely, and the best ideas don't always come out on top. You know, it may be three people who have a bad idea, but all agree on it. I've had that a lot of times, you know, that happened.
Those three.
Usually guitarists. Everyone should think, this is an important point, everyone in your band, everyone on your team should think about possible feels, instrumentation, dynamics, and melodic lines as you're going through a song. Now, there's it's partly dependent on the maturity of the musician. I mean, you may have a younger musician who is there simply just to learn and, you know, glean from what's going on. But as soon as you can move people into a position where they're actually contributing ideas, the better. Where everyone's thinking like a producer. A producer is the person who listens to the whole sound and tries to figure out, well, what would be best here? What would be best here? What would go here? What needs to drop out here? And you'll probably hear me say it a number of times in this seminar. The fact that we're in front of the church or on stage does not mean that we have to be playing. We can praise God through other means, through singing, through expressiveness. And if we don't get that, we'll feel compelled to always be playing. And if you're always playing, it's just not going to sound as good. The effects of the instrument, the contributions of every instrument are not going to be maximized. So you'll hear me say that frequently. Suggest changes after trying out the leader's plan or when you're asked. And I appreciate it when someone says, hey, how about if we try this? How about if we try this? What about this for the intro? Or I think that's a problem if we go back here. Or even asking a question. So how are we going to go from chorus to chorus? Those kinds of things. Hold your ideas loosely and then fully support the leader's decisions. I run those off like, sure, anybody can do this. That can be very difficult. When you suggest a musical idea you think is really good and the leader says, no, I don't think we'll do that. You know, so you're there with... Now, don't do that.
I'm always a guitar player.
Don't.
It could be.
I've never had that experience, Dave. Dave, you got to use your mic if you're going to say something.
They know what I'm saying.
You often say good things. All right. A lot of times we're pulling an arrangement from a CD. We hear a CD, we bring it in. Okay, let's do this song. Let me just say this about CDs. Pre-made arrangements and parts from CDs can be a blessing or they can be a curse. They're a blessing when they challenge us to grow and we learn them and we can do them easily and naturally. They're a curse when they're beyond our skill level or ill-suited to our particular context and we're using them anyway. songs are tools. They're mostly the melody line and the lyric. That's what we're trying to support when we do these arrangements. So, you know, if you've got an 8-bar, 16-bar introduction that's, bombastic, let's just do that. What we were doing in the intro as we were getting our monitor checked. That's what we were doing as you came in. Everybody was playing, and we had Vicki Cowan, faithful servant, going around asking everyone how their monitor mix was. She keeps doing that. Now, if you're in a smaller church and it's just, you know, you and the soundboard, it's still worth doing. You play, everybody plays, okay, stop. What do you need? What do you need? That is probably the most important part of the rehearsal that people tend to miss. If you can't hear each other, you will not be able to do good arrangements. Because you don't know what's going on. So it's all about what you're playing, and you're tempted to play a lot. So say, we're going to do a song, Praise the Lord, and we'll just count it off, and everybody will be in strong, and I'll say something about it in a second. Let's go to the verse. Lord, oh, praise his name. Okay, so we work out this intro and nothing fancy about it. You're just playing the chords. Well, in the middle of the meeting, I might want to start it like, praise the Lord, oh, praise his name. From the heights of heaven he reigns. Seated in the highest place. Surrounded by unending praise. So bringing the band gradually, if I'm locked into this arrangement, and that was a simple, you know, example, but if I'm locked into the arrangement, then that's what I got to do. And it doesn't always fit. So if we learn something from a CD, be aware of how we might flex on it. We're going to demonstrate that later. Arrange to the skill level of your team, not studio musicians. They're better than all of us, believe me. Arrange to the skill level of your team. If you simplify chord charts, if you need to try figure out a simpler way to do something that might be difficult. You don't have to use everything that's on a CD. You can cut out, you know, bridges, instrumental bridges. You can work with it, massage it so that it does what it's supposed to do for you. Now, I'm talking about some areas to consider, not in a particular order. These are simply areas to think about when you are approaching an arrangement. This is a hard seminar to teach systematically, because when we get together and do arranging, I'm not thinking, okay, guys, let's talk about the context. Before we touch a note, let's talk about the context. We usually just start playing, and then all these things come into play. So these are some of the things to consider. Context. What's the church used to? In terms of style, it's not wise to introduce, you know, some drastic, bombastic song when your church has just been singing hymns for 50 years. You want to ease in. What precedes the song? How are the songs fitting together? What follows the song? Are you building momentum as you sing? Do you want an introduction to be more reflective or to be strong? It can go either way. Most songs can go either way. You can start them, you know, strong and loud, everybody in, or just with one instrument. And since we're trying to support the singing, a lot of times just having that single instrument start can really be an effective way of drawing people in. Because the more space we leave for people to sing, the more they'll want to sing. The more they'll be invited in. If the whole time it's just a wall of sound coming at people, and it could be in a small church. It could be, you know, you got 50 people in your church, but everybody's playing all the time. It's just going to be more challenging for people to feel like you want them to add to what you're doing. So even if you're using a piano, guitar, and a djembe, there are still times where you can break it down just to piano, just a guitar, just the djembe. Those are just ideas you can use. What follows the song? Are there any added elements? Communion? Baptism, testimony, scripture reading. So that helps shape the arranging. The feel, that's where we usually start on a song. Usually it's the kick, drum, and the bass. So as we start playing a song, hopefully Don on the bass and Jordan on the drums are thinking, okay, what is the other guy doing? And how many drummers and bass players do we have here? Okay, great. Yeah, you guys in modern style worship music are key. And everything you can do to provide a solid foundation that everybody else can rest on, it will so serve the singing. So let's do that. We'll start that introduction, and then we're going to drop out on cue, and just you guys will keep playing. And just you guys with everything. Okay? Do we want to play the first verse? Let's just do the intro.
Just you guys with everything.
All the drums, I meant. All of them.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. 2, 3, 4. Just drums and bass. So here's what the kick's doing. Kick, 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 kick. Pretty simple. Kick. Now Don's doing these eighth notes. This is a pretty straight ahead rock feel. But you'd be surprised how many times we don't get this. It's boring almost, isn't it? Can I just Don? No drums. Whew. It's not very exciting, is it, Don? Yeah. Okay. But that's what serves the song. Just that simple. And now, Jordan, play a little more complicated kick pattern. Let's do the introduction. Just play something that's more exciting for you.
The whole feel of the song is very straight ahead.
Whole feel of the song is very straight ahead.
Just eighth notes.
Eighth notes.
So I can play more notes. But anything you play.
Offbeat.
Mess up with the whole feel.
So do something offbeat. But which will be very exciting for him as the drummer. Okay. Now, Don, what would you do with something like that if your drummer started doing that?
I would try to simplify. I would do something that hopefully complemented what he's doing, but I probably wouldn't play the straight.
He wouldn't play what he's playing.
So I would just modify my part.
Modify. Okay. So if he did have a drummer who was doing something that complicated, he would go simpler rather than trying to go with it. What I would do is talk to the drummer. I mean, as the leader of the band, I'd say, you know, Jordan, I appreciate your skill. I appreciate your expertise and your desire to really enjoy playing. But what will really serve us is if you just keep it kick, snare, kick, snare, kick, snare. And can you hear the difference? It's a feel, but no one else is playing it. Everybody else is just going June, 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 June. Okay, so that's an introduction. And we'll do some different feels in a moment. Can also be the main harmonic instrument, percussion, or a sequenced loop. This morning when Joseph was leading with the Philly band, we had a whatever they call that thing, a desk. DJ. Keep changing the name on me. Loops. And it could be that. It could just be a shaker. It could just be the piano, you know. Praise the Lord, oh, praise His name. From the heights of heavy rains. But I'm thinking, kick, 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 kick. Or I'm thinking, I'm kick, snare, kick, snare. I'm feeling that in here, so I'm not. Praise the Lord, oh, praise His name. With all the heights of heavy rains. I'm in the highest place. Again, I'm exaggerating just a little bit because just a little bit from last night. There have been so many times when I want to do things like that, but I say, you know, that's just not going to help because it won't contribute to the feel. Feel, it comes in here. It's not so much a tempo as just where are the main beats? Where are the main emphases of each bar? And that's what the kick and bass, thank you, provide, that solid feel. Everyone needs to be aware of the feel. So especially if you're a keyboard player, we're just notorious for not caring about the feel. You don't have to applaud that. We live in our own little world. We have 10 fingers, 88 keys. Why not use as many of them as we can? That's what we're thinking. And we want to really lock into what's happening there. So as a beginning keyboardist, or if you're just learning this style, what I would encourage you to do is play a lot of whole notes and listen to the bass and kick. That's what I do. So let's go to the first verse of Praise the Lord, since this is a Samsung. Okay, and Jim, if you could just boost what I'm doing up a little bit. Okay, Jordan, just right on the verse.
Lord, oh, praise his name. From the heights of heavy rain, seated in the highest place, surrounded by unending praise. Yes, keep it going. Praise him for his mighty deeds.
Now, if I get that, I might be able to add.
Da 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 da.
That's it. I'm not gonna do.
Da, da.
Everything that I'm not looking for the space where I can really let my talent shine. I'm just trying to let this go so we can feel where the music should be. And then that provides a wonderful support for what this song is saying. Praise the Lord with all you are, mind and soul and will and heart. And we want to do that in unity. And that's what that feel does. It brings that unity. Now, there are some songs that don't require a feel. Hymns, there's more of an emphasis on every melodic change. So take a hymn like, It Is Well. You can do that with a feel, certainly, and we'll do that in just a moment. But we could do It Is Well.
When peace like a river attendeth my way.
And maybe some of you in your churches do it just like this.
Da, 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 da. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
See, when you do it like that, there's a little more give and take in the song. And sometimes drummers and bass players, especially drummers, can have a propensity, have a tendency to want to put a feel to everything. Everything doesn't have to have a feel. Some songs can just be done as they are, just sung. Crowned with many crowns is a great example.
Crowned him with many crowns, a lamb upon his throne.
Now, you can add a feel to that, but you don't have to. So let's go back to It As Well, and let's think of a feel for that.
So we've got, when peace like a river.
That is probably going to be a little fast for a good feel, so we'll slow it down some.
When peace like a river.
So right about there, and I'll say to my drummer, so any ideas for what you do right there? And then Don, add what you do. We'll be in C. I think I have this in the charts. Yeah, we're in C. No guitars yet, guys. Hold on. You'll get your turn. Okay, so very simple kick. But see how now there's a nice feel. We'll start the verse.
When peace like a river attendeth my way. sorrows like sea billows roll.
Okay, excellent. Now, what is that doing to the song? What does that do for the song? This is audience participation. Class participation. How does that change the song? Makes it modern. Okay, that's one thing it does. It does. It just makes it a little easier for people who are used to hearing modern music to receive from, to hear it that way. But it does something else. There you go. Gives a little more focus to the lyrics because it slows it down. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, for all the people who would argue against, the use of these instruments in the church, I would contend that, no, oftentimes these instruments can bring greater impact to the lyrics. And I think that's what it does. It just provides this foundation for those words to stand on top of and for us to experience what we're singing about even as we're singing it. So you get the point. That's enough of that one. Instrumentation. What you have to work with can affect the arrangement, obviously. It was great having 11 string players on stage the other night, but most of us don't work with 11 string players. Most of us don't work with any string players. You know, we have someone who's playing the piano trying to learn to play by ear. We have a guitar player who knows 10 chords trying to work their way up to 12. And, you know, a drummer who can almost keep time. And we're trying to make that all work. And so go with the skill level that you have in your church while all the time encouraging people to grow, encouraging people that we are seeking to serve the church for the glory of Jesus Christ. So we want to be the best at what we do. We want to have our technique down. We want to know how to play the chords. So we need to practice. Why? So people will look at us and go, "Whoa, you are amazing." No. So that we'll be transparent and they'll sing the songs and go, "Whoa, Jesus Christ is amazing." That's what we're seeking to do. Even with all these instruments up here, and these guys, I could have each one of these guys just kind of do a solo thing. And Judah, in fact, Judah, why don't you just do something for us? Just do something really impressive. Oh, yeah. No, I could do that. Do something hard. Okay, so that kind of thing where he knows what he's doing. Wasn't that nice? Wasn't that beautiful? Dave, I'm not going to ask you. Now, Roger... I've known Dave for how long? 28 years?
At least.
It seems like an eternity, doesn't it? Roger, just do some stuff on the synth for us. Just do some crazy stuff. Just wild stuff. Yeah. Okay, so he can do that kind of stuff. Isn't that nice? Okay, now Jordan, just do something really crazy. Just like a drum thing. You know that drummers always do. More fills! Okay, that's good. Okay. I taught him most of that. I don't like to draw attention to that. But now, Don, do you know any nice bass licks? Oh, yes, you do. All these guys are... Okay, Don, you got to do something. Sorry. Just do pop some strings or something, you know. That sounds cool. Now, he's holding back. I know he's holding back. See, all these guys are humble, so they're not really giving everything they could. But what what they're doing is when we arrange, when we come together to arrange, it's not to show how much we can do. It's to show how much we can serve with the gifts that we have. So all that talent that you're seeing is going to be restrained and maybe brought out at certain points. I don't know if you noticed, Don has a great ability to, at a certain point, go high on the bass and bring out just this nice little melody that just kind of fills the space, and then he comes back down and you don't notice it that much anymore. That's what we're seeking to do. Not just prove to everyone that we can play these songs inside and out and we can play them in our sleep and we just know everything about them. It's serving people with our gifts. So I'm on instrumentation. What you have to work with can affect the arrangement. We don't need to be tied to a particular arrangement every week, and we want to maximize the contribution of each instrument. So I might start, let's go back to Praise the Lord. I might be used to starting it. Praise the Lord, oh, praise His name, with the piano. Let the heights of heavenly reigns. But I might say, you know what, what about if the guitar something could do something? So I might say, Judah, what would you do, like, well, for just for that straight A thing? I mean, it's not very creative. It's just, that's the kind of thing. Okay, so let's do, let's just do four bars of the intro, then go to the verse with that and drums. Okay. Here we go, verse 1. Praise the Lord, oh, praise His name. From the heights, look what I'm doing. Heavenly reigns. Seated in the highest place. Surrounded by an is that electric and bass. Praise the Lord, oh, awesome in His majesty. Praise the Lord with trumpet sound. Now we'll add the synth. Dance around. Everything that has breath, praise. That's what I'm doing. Everything that's in us, praise it. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Piano in verse 2. Praise the Lord with instruments. Praise Him for His excellence. I'll probably do it up here. Look at what He's done for us. Bore our sins upon the cross. Okay. So what I'm doing right here is arranging the song as we go. I'm thinking, okay, we want to build it some. We want some variety. So we'll start with the acoustic and drums. And we could even do, I could even say to Jordan, okay, let's just go even less on the drums for that verse. This is like really something simple for the first verse. Let's let him hear that. So we'll do four bars and then a very quiet kind of hi-hat thing, no kick. 2, 3, 4. Verse 1. Praise the Lord, oh, praise His name. From the heights of heavenly rains. Yeah, that sounds different. Seated in the highest place. Surrounded by unending. Little more here, over here. Praise Him for His. Don, just hold the note. Awesome in His majesty. Praise Him now with trumpet sound. Then we're going to bring the band in. Your voice and dance around. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Everything that's in us, praise Him. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And chorus, just piano. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. This is what I'm doing. In us, praise Him. Watch this. Everything that has breath. Watch this change. The Lord. Not bad. You could do that. You could do that. You don't have to practice 4 hours a day, every day in college to do that. That's what I did. But I'm thinking at that moment, they don't need to know that I practice 4 hours a day. What they need to know is something that's going to celebrate what we're celebrating. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And I'm trying to do it in a range that can be heard. Do I talk about range I will in just a moment. So anyway, as we do this, we're seeking to maximize the contribution of each instrument. What I've found over the years is that I often don't know what the individual instruments can do because I've never heard them alone. We've always played everything together. So for instance, Judah really is a fine, fine guitarist. And sometimes I'll just say, Judah, you just do something here. You know, just come up with something. Well, let's go back to It As Well. I know this is all on the spot. This is off the cuff. But if we were going to do it, when peace like a river attendeth my way. Let's start with that. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Okay, he might start there and I say, okay, Judah, give me something a little more, with a little more feel, a little more punchy, a little more creative hammer things, or just, you know, that stuff you do. What's that?
It's good direction.
Good direction, thank you. I excel at clear, concise direction. So, 1, 2, 3. When peace like a river. Exactly what I want him to. Attendeth my way. Now, if I'm playing the piano all the time, I'm not going to hear that. He's never going to have the chance to contribute it. Because I've got my thing down the road. Whatever my lot. But if he just, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Yes, now we're going to add the synth and the chorus and electric. It is well, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. Okay, good. Dave, when I'm asking you, and use your mic for this, when I'm asking you, okay, Dave, what, you know, come in here. What are the thoughts that are going through your mind as you're going to add to what's already happening, just for you electric guitarists?
Well, it would depend on where in the overall song we are, if it's at the beginning or more towards the end, how much of the story has already been told by the song. So that would determine the type of texture I would try to use, whether it would be more dry and driving or more kind of wet and ambient. When I say wet and ambient, it's more like sounds like this. Stuff that's more like airy and stuff. So it just depends where we are.
How about in terms of the range that Judah's playing in? Like the
I would probably look more to play something melodic above that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you have so many choices. When you have two guitars, how many of you have two guitars? Okay, yeah. What I find often is, like, just during a monitor check, I'll ask the guitar players, can you hear each other? No. It's obvious. because oftentimes they'll be using two different, you know, rhythms, or they'll be playing in the same range, and they're really not adding anything. So, let's see if we can't use another song to demonstrate this. Let's try God Overall. We introduce that here. God Overall. So let's, Judah, yeah. Just give a strong feel. So he's got this strong. See how it's got a nice feel? Even just the guitar. Drums can add to that. Let's go ahead and add the kick. So the kick kind of emerges from what Judah's already doing. He starts with a feel. That's a good thing when the keyboardist or the guitar player who's starting the song has a feel already. And then the drummer just comes in right behind it. Just okay, so he's in this range. Now, Dave, what are you going to do? Okay. Can you do something simpler?
and higher.
There you go. So that's a nice texture. He doesn't have to strum.
Now do something high, like an arpeggiated thing. How about like a, just a ding, ding, ding.
You hear that sound? That's nice. It's a lot better than what you came up with originally. All right. What I'm showing you here is how we work. We're not the Paul Balazs band. I've watched Paul Balazs do this. You know, those guys are so good. They're so good. I just don't have them in my church. We've got great. I've got Dave. We have great musicians, but it just takes this, you know, pull and give and take. And so don't be afraid to talk as a team about what would sound best. What would sound better than what you're doing? So, you know, Dave started off with something that was kind of in the same range as what Judah was doing. You know, he was picking. So I thought, well, no, let's slow that down. So then he does this just strum, and that works. That's great. But I thought, well, how about something maybe in another range? And when you arrange, keep in mind the different aural spectrums that each instrument occupies. Now, the great thing about a piano is that it occupies all of them. Isn't that excellent? So we really are kind of a one-man band, I think. Yeah. That's how we tend to think of ourselves. So, you know, you got the bass way down, drums have the kick way down, and then the hi-hat's kind of up here in the middle somewhere, and then you got the snare in the middle area, and the cymbals are way up high. And then, of course, synthesizer, Roger on synthesizer can do pretty much anything. Again, there's just highs and lows. So, Roger, could you just share for a few moments? That's the lows. So give me some high stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's really different. And so if you're a synthesizer, how many synthesizer players we got? Okay. Yeah, if you're a synthesizer player, God bless you. Thank you. Roger is one of the finest synthesizer players I've ever seen or heard. He just knows how to come in and support what's happening. You will be able to do that more effectively if you know the sounds on your instrument. That's number one. Two, if you keep this idea of aural spectrum in mind. So, Judah, give us that Got to Roll Again intro. So it's kind of right here in the middle of the aural spectrum. So, Roger, if you're going to add something to that, then go high. Maybe an organ or something. If he does something open, it's not as crucial that it be in a different range. Because you can hear the two instruments. Now even go higher than that. That cuts through a little clearer. If you want, you know, to be heard, up here is, now add, keep that, but add a left hand to it on the organ. I mean, he's using two hands, which is great. God gave him two hands. But in this particular instance, it just kind of muddies things up rather than letting the acoustic have its sound and then the synthesizer have its sound. Okay, that's good. So, Roger, yeah, why don't you explain some of the thoughts that go through your mind when you're thinking about...
One thing when you're playing an organ sound, organs replicate all the different harmonics. So it might look like I'm playing in the middle of the keyboard, but I'm really playing a higher sound because you go from the octave to a fifth to another octave, like that with the setting. And this has got drawbars, but a lot of the synthesizers, like Korgs and Rolands and all that, have those kind of things built in where you can move knobs and things like that to get that. So even though it looked like I'm playing in the middle, I was playing something like that because it didn't have all the low-end content. in it. And another thing about playing up high is a good thing, but there's a lot of times where I'll hear someone on playing strings and they're playing up high. And I'm sitting in the back with my grandkids up in stroller land, and it sounds like a tea kettle is whistling. So you have to watch that. It's good for little bits and pieces, but if it's over the whole piece, it's like it's droning. It's like this high kind of dog whistle thing droning. So a little bit goes a long way, but around here is pretty nice. And it's also really kind of the range of, like, I listen to a lot of movie soundtracks to get my string ideas. And this is around the range. If you see, like, Pride and the Prejudice or something that's got a beautiful, like, piano and string score, that's kind of like the range where they're playing a lot of that kind of stuff. So that's a good place to hang in.
If you were going to suggest, like, five basic sounds for a synthesizer player to, like, have a good grasp of, or a few, what would you suggest?
Okay, well, I would say kind of a lush string sound like this. Now, that's real nice, but that's really fat sounding by itself. You can go down low with it, it's like really full, and it can kind of like obliterate everything around it if it's turned up loud.
When might you use a sound like that?
On an intro.
Okay.
Or if we're doing the song, we've done the chorus a bunch of times, and you point to me, and I'm just going to play by myself. Or maybe me with the acoustic or the drums or something like that. I would use something like that. Well, I would even use it when the whole band played, but I would just do
open fifths.
Open fifths and fourths or single notes.
Yeah, that's one thing that as keyboard players we have to learn. If you're a synthesizer player, you just don't have to play a lot of full chords or two hands even. In fact, some people joked about just, you know, keeping your left hand behind your back when you play synthesizer.
That was probably a guitar player that said that.
Probably. What other sounds would you recommend?
Another thing, I would, you can make these sounds if you know how to do it, but most keyboards, they have like hundreds of them, so I would find something that was kind of more muted sounding.
Like a fluty?
Like this. Yeah, it's kind of a little fluty. And
fluty.
It's a little flighty. Here's another. Now, this is a real pretty sound, but if everybody's wailing away on guitars and stuff like that, you're really not going to hear that. Mm-hmm. So this is another sound that's good when it's maybe that in the piano or that in one guitar or something like that, or that by itself. Mm-hmm. And I kind of stay away from synthesizer brass sounds, but these kind of pad things, the organs, if you want to get a little bit more adventurous... That's a nice kind of sound. There's an awful lot of harmonics in it, so you just have to be careful. If you were in your notes, you said something about think like a producer, and so if you were putting together something in your computer at home with Cakewalk or whatever you have in your computer, I bet you wouldn't use that sound all the way through the song. But maybe if you're playing with the band, you might be thinking, well, that sounds really nice in my headphone. I think I'm going to play it all morning. You know, but that's nice in spots, and it's nice with one note or two notes, but not a lot of notes.
That's
you
nice.
Know.
And how often how much of a song will you generally play for, percentage-wise?
That depends. On a real rocker or something, I might play through a lot of it. But like on God Overall, I would drop out maybe in the first verse, add something in the middle of the second verse, and kind of keep it. Kind of a muted organ or something like that. And then as it opened up, get brighter. And then with organs in your other keyboards, you have that Leslie simulator. And that's nice to use for emphasis when you're really... I mean, it's literally an emulation of the speaker winding up. And as you're winding up in the song and like getting really big, it's nice to use. But maybe on a mellow verse... I wouldn't do it because it might sound more like a soap opera then.
Yeah, we don't want to make...
Unshackled.
clip art worship, soap opera worship. Okay. Roger just mentioned something that I want to move into, and that is the structure of a song. Everybody needs to be thinking about the structure of the song. We need to think of songs that, like, they have sections. They have, different areas that we can define by what we play. by who's playing, by how much we're playing, by what chords we're playing. So these are the sections I think of when I'm going through a song. You've got your intro. How does this song start? Is it going to be with everybody? I mean, a lot of us, when we come in to play a song, everybody just starts playing. And we assume, okay, that's what we're going to do. A lot of times that works. A lot of times it doesn't. A lot of times you don't need it. So just thinking, okay, how can we change this? What songs do we have here? The Glories of Calvary. How many of you know the song The Glories of Calvary? Okay, good. A lot of you. Good. So if we were going to start that, we could start with the whole band. Let's just start that. Everybody get that up. And let's just do full band. And Jordan, would you count us off? Wait a minute. Did everybody have this in F? Let's play it in E. I have a chart in F, but we play it in E.
Calling me to come and behold the wondrous cross, to explore the depths of grace.
Okay, now that was unrehearsed, but as soon as we got to the verse, I just kind of stopped playing because I was thinking somebody's going to pick this up. And sure enough, who was that? Is that Judah playing? Were you doing that? Okay, so that's all. We got that. Now, I may not want to start that way. I may want to start, in fact, we'll start meetings this way frequently. I'll just do something on the piano. And Roger's bringing a little synth thing, little flutey thing. Not getting in the way. And then we go,
Lord, you're calling me to come, to behold the wondrous cross, to explore.
What does that do to the words when we do it that way? I'm sorry? Yeah, highlights them. It does exactly what we're saying. Lord, you're calling me to come, to behold the wondrous cross, to explore the depths of... It's got that inviting feel where when it's,
Lord, you're calling me to come. Yes! And behold the wondrous cross.
It's like we're just, yeah. And we don't want to just do that. I mean, there are times for doing that.
Everything that has breath, praise.
It's like everything in you. But when you're inviting, you might want to do something different. So that's the intro. And then we've got the first verse. So you usually have a main instrument. And a lot of times we'll break something down to one instrument, drums and bass, just get the one person started. Because you've got a whole song. It's a journey. You've got a lot of stuff to do. So, and that song, it might be Judah who takes the beginning. It might be me who takes the beginning. We should decide before the meeting starts or, during rehearsal who's going to do that exactly. But sometimes you don't even have that time. And that's what everybody needs to be listening to, what's going on. So if we start it, and no one's picking it up, then I'll pick it up. I'll say, no one's playing. Okay. I'll play. So you're usually doing a main instrument. You've got another verse usually, sometimes three. So think about how you might build those. You've got a pre-chorus sometimes. For instance, in the song, Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise.
That's a pre-chorus. It's the same in each verse. So at that point, you might want to do something different. And the nice thing is that's on a recording, numerous recordings, so there's usually something different happening there. But say you haven't heard a recording. You can still come up with something different because you're aware, that's a pre-chorus. I could do something a little different. What can we do? Change the instrumentation. Change the feel. Drop the bass out. I mean, there's all kinds of things. This is going on video, so I'm hesitant to do a non-Sovereign Grace song, but this is just such a great example. In the verse you've got,
Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. There's a pain.
You got kind of driving. And you've got the pre-chorus, where the bass could just go.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise.
Just let those whole notes ring. And what that does is beautifully set up the chorus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
You know, it's that. Okay, we got notes, rest, notes. And that just provides a nice variety so that people can hear the words better. Pre-chorus, you've got your chorus, change in feel, change in instrumentation. You've got your turnaround, which is what happens after a chorus. Sometimes there is no turnaround, it just goes right back to a verse. Other times there's, you know, you go back to the intro, or there's some new thing that you go to. And then sometimes you'll have a bridge. Any changes in instrumentation? Does it build? What volume should it be? Guys, I want to do Jesus, thank you. It's not in there. Just do it. Sorry.
Once your enemy, now seated at your table.
That's everybody in there. Once your enemy. Three, four.
Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus,
turn around. Just go to the bridge. Just synth.
Lover of my soul, I want to live.
That's one way we could go. All right? Now let's do that again, and let's go to Dave. You want to do something there? On Lover of My Soul? Okay, let's go. Let's come into it. End of the chorus.
Jesus,
different. It feels different. And depending on what you want to do, now as the leader, I'll sometimes just do that myself. I'll say, okay, I'm just, you know, I lead and I play an instrument, so I'll just take that. And I'll have to have confidence, humble confidence as a leader to say to everybody else, don't play there. And if you're a leader of your team and you don't have the faith to say that, you need to get the faith to say that. It can be pride, but it doesn't have to be pride. And as you demonstrate a willingness to have other people play and add things and you not play, they'll understand you're trying to arrange to make the lyrics more effective, not just wanting to be in the spotlight all the time. Does that make sense? I mean, it's an important thing. It's hard to say, okay, I want you guys to all stop playing so I can play. And it feels like, well, it's just all about me. But no, I think it's nice just to have a breathing in the sound. And it might be me. But then there are other times I want to say, okay, Judah, why don't you take something? Dave, why don't you take something? Roger, why don't you take something? And be thinking that way. Who can play at this spot? Okay, we're getting to the end here. And then the end of the song. All right, five keys to remember. Listen to others as much as yourself. Listen to others as much as yourself. We're going to play, let's do the intro to The Glories of Calvary. Okay? And we'll just start playing. And guys, I just want you to start, you know, we'll be listening to each other and adjust your part accordingly. We'll play four bars, not listening that well. And we'll use these chords. Yeah, let's just play this pattern. E, F sharp minor 7, A, B. Okay, go. Okay. Okay, everybody start playing as full on as you can, and then we'll adjust as we go.
able to start to hear the instruments a little more distinctly as we go from where we started. A change in terms of like this wall of sound, and then okay, oh, there's the piano, oh, there's that guitar, oh, the synthesizer's doing that, the drums are doing simpler stuff, the bass isn't, it's playing something that's more supportive of what's happening. That's how we just want to naturally play. As soon as you start playing, the band starts playing, start listening to others more than yourself. Now, it's helpful if you're familiar with a contemporary genre. And I know a few bands, really. I want to recommend two CDs that I just think are superb in terms of the way they use their instrumentation. And they're both Paul Balazs, Our God Saves and A Greater Song. Both demonstrate very well what it means to play as a band. So they're very good to listen to and get ideas from and just see how they play together. Second, content is king. Everything serves the lyrics. It's not about a great groove, a cool transition, or getting to use the lick I just learned. They might support the lyrics, but not necessarily. Less is more. Third, less is more. We need to learn the beauty of playing nothing. Dave just sent me a note recently where you told me something that I wanted to bring it and I forgot. As you think about the next 8 measures, can you tell everybody what you told me in this little encouragement note?
This was after I said some really nice stuff.
He did.
So this was the PS. I just said next time you lead, just think about over the next 8 measures, what 1 or 2 notes you should play. And then I said, or whether or not you're close to exceeding the amount of notes that you should play in one lifetime, and whether or not you should play at all.
Which I take to heart. Dave has been a faithful friend for so many years, and this is the kind of culture you want to build on your team. We are called to be humble servants because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we follow a crucified Messiah who has changed us and is changing us. So none of this, hey, don't tell me what to play. You're a guitar player. Hey, don't tell me what to play. You're a piano player. We need to work together, and we need to be able to give it and receive it. And so being able to communicate humbly, but, you know, I'm not sure anybody can really play or be heard because of all the stuff you're playing. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I think maybe just whole notes would be better. It's good. It's good for me to hear that. I still need to hear it. My natural tendency is just to just be all over. And
don't forget the forbidden 7-1-5 interval.
I had a younger guy in our church come up to me and say, never play that again. It's one of my favorite intervals. It has a lot of uses. So anyway, less is more. Say it with me. Less is more. And really, you don't even have to be a real skilled instrumentalist to disregard that principle. Because we all tend to overplay. And I would encourage you, even as a guitarist sometimes, just to strum whole notes. I mean, if your band just practiced doing whole notes, especially on some of the songs like what we've been doing, let's just do that. Let's just every play a whole note or a half note on the chord change. Whole note, I guess, on Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's right on the top of the verse.
Praise the Lord, oh, praise His name. From the heights of heavy rain. Seated in the highest place, surrounded by unending praise.
Okay.
Did that sound bad? No. But all we're doing is playing whole notes. Anybody can play whole notes. Anybody in this room can play whole notes. So, this is what I'm saying. For some of us, maybe many of us, playing whole notes will sound better than what we're currently doing. And I'm sorry to say that. I'm sorry to break that to you. But really, start there. Especially if you're a keyboardist learning to, you know, play charts. Just start there. And it may not always work, but just start there. Play a part, not the chart. And what that means is think about how can I make this more interesting? Using these chords, how can I make this just a little more interesting? Memorable, for instance. We were doing Praise the Lord before. Let's go to something slower. The Lord is. You save your own life for my ransom. Okay. You know what? I changed my mind. Let's do God Overall. So we'll go to the chorus, which is your love has saved me. By your grace I now draw near and your love. Okay, now we could all play the chords. Let's just play the chords. Right on the chorus. 1, 2, 3, 4. And your love has saved me. By your grace I now draw near and your love has set me free to glorify your name. And I want to sing of your love. Okay. It works. It works fine. Now, Judah, would you do anything different on that? Or would you just kind of be hanging on the chords? Just playing straight? Okay. You're kind of the meat and potatoes of the song. But Dave, would you do something different? Okay. Okay, that's a little part right there. That little thing he did. Do, 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 do. He's not doing it the whole time. It's just he's just thinking, okay, let me make this a little more creative. Roger, what are you doing? Okay.
Yeah. Because of the nature of the instrument, that's kind of what you do with this type of thing. But I might revert to single notes on
okay.
part of it.
What would you do if you did single notes?
It's like the third.
That is amazing, isn't it? That. Glad I had that demonstrated. Okay. Okay. And so, so I could do something different. Like with octaves, a lot of time keyboard players think octaves are boring and old, but they can add a little spice, a little emphasis to things. So let's go back and play the chorus again. Dave, you're doing your thing, and I'm going to just do something a little different. Your love has saved. By your grace I now draw near. And your love has set me to glorify your name. And I want to sing of your love. Sorry. Isn't that a beautiful interval? That is so nice. So I really cut back on what I did, but okay. Cut back on what I did, but did you hear what I did? Was it out there? Could you hear that clear? Just ya da da. Just playing an octave in the right hand, a single note in the left hand. I could do it simply. Even love has saved me. I'm just thinking, okay, I want to play something that's a part that could be written out and remembered. That's what I mean by play a part, not a chart. Another point, and then we'll have to close, it looks like, is practice spontaneity. Especially if your team's growing in this, practice spontaneity. That means during your rehearsal, do unexpected things. Don't think that all of a sudden the arrangements are going to be incredibly varied and creative and beautiful on Sunday morning. Like the Spirit will just show up and just give everybody producer's ears and they'll know exactly when to play. That rarely happens. Occasionally it does. So during your rehearsal, practice doing things different. So what I'll do is I'll point to someone and say, oh, you did this, you did that, and let's change it. So let's use this song as an example of spontaneity, and I'll just kind of direct it as we go. All right? Jordan, why don't you start us? God over all, just Judah. God over all, giver of life and health and breath, I want to sing of your love. Came as a man, so I'm thinking I want to build this. Humble, you died the sinner's death, and I want to sing of your love. Your love has saved me. Now, I'm not even playing yet because I don't need to. The song's three verses. There's three choruses. So I just don't want every chorus to be exactly the same. And I want to sing of your love. I can go back to that part. Verse 2, Roger. Never forget. Nice, see what Jordan's doing? That you have bought. He changed the texture of what he's doing. It's a new sound of your love. And maybe Judah again. In all I do. Now he's doing something different. And I love be shine. Okay, that's enough. See, Judah is thinking like a producer. Because did you notice he's doing something different than what he did in the first verse? Do what you're doing in the first verse. Whew, I'm so glad you did that. First verse. All right, now do what you were doing in the second verse. Do, 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 do. Yeah. Just breaking it down, just making it simpler. That is thinking like a producer. And when we want to cultivate our musicians, and we personally want to take responsibility to cultivate our hearing so that we're thinking like that. How can this be a little different? How can this be a little better? Ultimately, trust God to work in people's hearts through His Spirit and the finished work of Christ, not our arrangements. No matter how good our arrangements get, we can never depend on them to do the work that only God can do through His Word and through His Spirit in people's hearts. These are tools. I pray that this seminar has helped you for in the future, as you work with your team, to serve your church more effectively. Thanks for coming.
You've been listening to a seminar by Bob Coughlin, which was given at our Worship God 2008 conference. It was made available to you through Sovereign Grace Ministries. Sovereign Grace is primarily devoted to planting and caring for churches. We also hold conferences, train leaders, and publish books, music, and audio and video messages. For more information, visit www.sovereigngraceministries.org or call us at 301-330-7400.